I don't even know how to start this, except this is what should have been closing WWE Fastlane. This is what should have closed the show. But unfortunately, it just isn't. We witnessed the complete destruction of Kevin Owens as Universal Champion, all to give 55-year-old Bill Goldberg a less than a month reign as Universal Champion. What can I say? It was a shit show. This is WWE Fastlane Reaction. I am Hammy. In studio with me is Michael Falcone. And yes, we have two very special guests. Two people, two very good friends of mine who will be joining the WWE Universe at WrestleMania this next month in April. Very jealous of these two. Jeff and Brian of the High Spot Podcast. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us and watching that abysmal of a pay-per-view with us this evening. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Words cannot express how I feel right now. It's like I feel like I'm in a week. Now, it's like that bad.
It's good to be invited in the palatial studios that you got here, though. I will say that. I'm always wondering what it looked like, and I am just in utter shock, just like the whole Goldberg-Owens match.
Someone's not a video link downloader.
Well, I mean, it's good to be in studio, you know? It's good to be part of the...
Yeah, it's...
I've heard about this place. I've heard the rumors, and I've heard the, you know, what goes on in here. But now to be here in person...
It's legendary.
Legendary.
So I have a suggestion.
Only half of it's true.
If that. So I have a suggestion for tonight, because we've all got shit we've got to say.
Yeah.
We're all very opinionated about this shit. We should just do this Wu-Tang style. We're just one after another without anyone talking over each other, because like it kind of needs this. We need to get it out of our systems.
To vent.
We need time to vent about this shit.
It's like therapy, yeah. Just go out there and just...
Oh, Hamill. Yeah. On point.
Oh, God.
This isn't his first go around.
So, I guess I'll start since I brought that up.
You open it up, start.
So, I didn't know what it would feel like watching the equivalent of not just the full-time wrestlers, but also the wrestling fans who watch year in, year out, day in, day out, get slapped in the face simultaneously by Vince McMahon. But I think we just watched it unfold over 22 seconds, because that's essentially what he did. He told those groups, the full-time wrestlers and the full-time fans, that he doesn't give a shit. All he cares about are the part-timers and the casual fans. What happened tonight was so ridiculous, and he painted himself in that corner where now one of the leading newer guys in his company looks weak because he lost to Goldberg in 20 seconds, because he had to do that to Brock Lesnar too, because stupid Goldberg injured his shoulder before that match. It sends a horrible message, especially the full-time locker room, where, hey, you know what, you can win, you can do well with the title and carry this company, but then Goldberg will swoop in and say, I want a title shot, I want the title, and it'll be put on him. Just to promote a match, just to add that little bit extra, I mean, to a match that sucked 15 years ago when they did it before. Like, and that's the issue I have with it. They essentially sacrificed Kevin Owens' momentum and his title reign, and the importance of the Owens-Jericho match, to add fuel to a fire that caused fans to revolt and take over the crowd at WrestleMania 20.
I said it in November when he buried Brock Lesnar, and I can't believe I'm saying it again. Has Kevin Owens been buried now? When is the Goldberg burial train going to end?
Yeah. And this isn't like... this isn't an example of them just saying, giving Goldberg a last run.
No, I guarantee the only reason why he came back is because he's like, oh, I'm not coming back, Vince, unless you put the strap on me at least once.
Like, that's the only reason he signed on to come back for so many more dates. Like, no one's stupid, and I think Vince thinks we all are stupid when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Remember, he has said on several occasions in the ring, I don't give a damn what these people want. He said it several times on TV.
And people don't realize that's Vince going meta.
That's Vince breaking kayfabe. He doesn't give a shit what we want, because he knows no matter how angry we are tonight at this pay-per-view, we're going to watch Monday Night Raw tomorrow.
Well, all right.
And you're still going to plug down money to go to WrestleMania.
Like you guys are.
No, he already got your money before that happened. He waited until Fastlane
because
he knew that if he did that before those ticket bundles went on sale,
he wasn't going to get my money.
No, like you would have probably protested that, you know what? I love going to WrestleMania, but fuck this shit. I'm not going to watch Goldberg and Lesnar face off for their main title on Raw, which, by the way,
I still might hashtag that. Fuck this shit. It's terrible. Yeah.
You should just shit talk the event during the event while you're there.
Guys, we act like we're surprised. Every time we'll come on and we'll be like, I can't believe they did this and that. Like,
what is tarnation?
Where is it to the point where, like, we're not shocked anymore? We know it's WrestleMania. We know that they want to put ass in seats and stuff like that. So, I mean, why are we come here every month and just and vent when we know that this is the same thing? And when do we learn to accept it? But as fans, okay, we don't.
Here's my problem with that, with the fact they do that, and why I kind of don't want to get used to that happening, is the fact that it's a model that's not working long term. All those casual fans that come in, that'll come in to watch Goldberg and Lesnar for the title, are just going to leave a couple weeks after WrestleMania and then only to come back for WrestleMania. So what Vince is doing is not retaining those fans. So he needs to just let the full-time stars be the focus of the show. That's how it worked in the Attitude Era when he purged, like, years after he purged Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Piper, like, and everyone else who were the stars in the 80s, and let the newer guys develop their own characters. But he almost seems to be selectively patient with newer guys. Like, he'll give Roman Reigns all the patience in the world, but he won't give the likes of a Cesaro any patience at all for a character development. And he'll throw certain people to the wolves and then say it's their fault when it's really just him and his writer's fault. Like, I know they're finally starting to get wrestling writers in, but the TV writers need to fucking go.
And what's worst of all is I'll make the same gripe and people be like, Jeff, you're missing the big picture. It's about WrestleMania. But it just shows you that from May to November, hey, go get that brass ring for you full timers. But when it comes, you know, comes to WrestleMania season, you know what? Whatever you've done, all the merits that you have, doesn't count. And that's just a sad story.
It's sickening though, because like WrestleMania should be to reward the people who've been carrying the company from May to November, not to just put them to the back burner because someone who's 55 years old and wants to show his grandkids that he can still go wants to have a match at WrestleMania.
I mean,
well, WrestleMania's become the nostalgia mania in my mind. It's like that's all they want to talk about is nostalgia. Bring back all the legends. Bring back the Stone Colds, the Shawn Michaels, the McFoley's, Goldbergs, et cetera, et cetera.
Because we know we're going to expect a legend run-in at WrestleMania. The Hall of Fame is the entire reason why we get nostalgic over Mania. And then we have one or two legends run in, interfere with the match or whatever, and everyone's like, oh, yay, interference, because it's their legends. we'll give them passes.
One thing I want to point out, I think everyone universally can say NXT is far superior to the
in
to
every
Raw.
Conceivable
and
way.
One of the biggest reasons is when they bring in older part-timers to wrestle in NXT, they bring them in to put over the newer talent.
Yeah.
Like when Mickie James came back for TakeOver Toronto, her goal was to put over Asuka. Asuka probably didn't need the rub, but still, they brought her in to put over Asuka.
And she delivered a great match.
Yeah. Like,
and right now, Mickie James is the...
putting over Becky Lynch.
Sort of the sidekick
to
Alexa Bliss. She knows where she is. She could still go in the ring. She could still have a great match. But she knows that her time as the face of the women's division is over. She might have one run left in her and then lose it to a deserving young talent. But right now, she's helping Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch get their rivalry to WrestleMania. That's her job right now. Bill Goldberg, when he was talking to Vince McMahon, and you know what pisses me off even more? I can only imagine how much money Bill Goldberg was paid tonight to go in there, prance around like a little bit, and then just bury Kevin Owens. Just flat out bury him.
It's a lot more than they paid Kevin Owens to basically be made to look like a fool in that match.
And we have a caller. Hey, who's this?
What's going on, guys? It's old KP.
What's up, KP?
How are you guys?
Yeah. Well,
we're not so good, obviously. We're not so good.
You know what we are? We feel like that we could, in the time it took Goldberg to bury Kevin Owens, we feel like that we should just forget everything that happened.
Well, my world's upside down right now because Falcon's making all sorts of sense.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, this shit's weird right now. But, yeah, what are you going to do, man? It's a 50-year-old white man can do anything. Don't we know that?
That is true. That is true. 50-year-old white guys can do basically anything they want to.
Even beat guys in a match that are 30 years younger than them or 20 years younger than them.
He didn't beat. You know what he did? He took a gigantic digger that Ford was using to build that area of Westworld. He took that gigantic shovel and just threw Kevin Owens in it.
He raided.
That was a good reference, by the way.
Thank you. I'm just watching it now. Now I know the references you people make.
He essentially raided Triple H's tool shed.
Yeah, basically. I'm sorry. Only Triple H gave his opponents a little bit more of a match. Goldberg. Jeff, you made the joke. Goldberg was getting gas or just prancing around there. Yeah. You made a joke, but it's
like Kevin
true.
Owens was going outside the ring to get Goldberg some steam before they locked up. It just, what are you going to do, man?
And look, from a business standpoint, say we want to get in Vince's brain, right, which is a scary thing. This is all about promoting the Universal title.
There's a lot of hot young blondes in his brain.
Yeah, I mean, probably
I might
want to
get in for that.
Well, just for that, yeah, maybe. But, you know, we look at the standpoint that you brought in this new title, which people hated. It was no difference. I know they're branding and making all the titles look the same, the United Kingdom Championship, et cetera, like Jeff mentioned to me. They're all going to be the same looking type style. But, all right, you're going to establish title and its legacy. Finn Balor, first champion. Then it was Kevin Owens, longest reigning Universal Champion. And now Bill Goldberg. How believable is that? What's the long-term goal? We're going to be flip-flopping the title because we already know what's probably going to happen.
And
that
we already know
that
Brock Lesnar's going to win at Mania. Mm-hmm. And then maybe he goes back to being dominant. But we won't forget that. In a minute and 26 seconds, his entire legacy, the Undertaker's streak, everyone he's ever destroyed, was undone by Bill Goldberg.
See, I think that's why the Universal title had to be on the line, because Brock has to take something that means a lot to Goldberg, and I think that would be the reason. I think you guys are talking about having Jericho and Owens for the Universal title, but I think that title needs to be defended because Brock will take, you know, something important. That'll get all that momentum.
Yeah,
back.
But Jeff, you and I have had discussions about this before too. I mean, at this point right now, with what happened at Survivor Series, even having the title on the line, heaven forbid, say it wasn't the Universal title, say it was the WWE Championship, right, which has more prestige behind it, is it going to save this rivalry? I don't think so. I think it only would have made sense if Goldberg had won at Survivor Series and we had a rubber match at WrestleMania. Would that mean something? Right now, the title added on to it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for it, and it makes no sense that Jericho would cost Owens a title, because now Jericho doesn't get to face off for the Universal title. No. He's got the
We get Owens and Jericho at Mania
for the U.S. title.
I mean, let's try to think silver lining here, guys. Yes.
Kind of hard to.
It is very hard, but I'm going to try here. I mean, yeah. Captain Negative Nancy here is going to try to be positive. Hear me out.
Shed light on us. Let's see.
We will have Goldberg and Lesnar for the Universal title. Yes, we will have Lesnar beat Goldberg. Yes, we will very rarely see Lesnar. And then most likely, maybe Roman Reigns beats him for the Universal title, and we'll have Roman Reigns.
Dog.
But
dog's a champ.
And yes, we'll have the two guys who were the best part of Raw now fighting for the B title.
Thank you for stealing my thunder there, but we will have the silver line at WrestleMania.
Mike, stealing the thunder.
Be the two most deserving people to have a marquee match at WrestleMania, and that's Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. The build-up to this is going to be fantastic.
But
they're going to deliver a classic at WrestleMania 33.
They're going to deliver,
and they're going to steal the show.
They're going to deliver better build and a better match than Vince McMahon deserves to have on this WrestleMania.
Yeah, Vince McMahon does not deserve this match to be
like
a marquee matchup. And you know what the sad thing is? It's probably going to be the second or third match of the card.
It's not going to be one of the main events. It's going to be, oh yeah, by the way, we've got this match going on too. These guys, you know, the guys
it's
who
It's
going
to be the sleeper match.
The guys who carried Raw for like more than a half a year. Yeah, they're going to just be like second match in WrestleMania.
Well, you could say that for the last couple of WrestleManias. The main event match has not been the match that everybody's wanted to go see.
Yeah,
like any diehard or generic fan will be like, you know, or be like, I don't want to see that. I want to see AJ and Jericho. I didn't want to see Roman Reigns and Triple H in the main event because nobody believed that story.
I mean, people will argue and say, yeah, but WrestleMania 31, the result was good. Yes, it was, but we weren't expecting that. We went into WrestleMania 31 expecting Roman Reigns to beat Brock Lesnar.
And here's the one time I'll contradict you guys. Remember when you say Vince doesn't care what we think? I think that is an example of where Vince actually listened and was like, we can't give the championship to this guy. So I think that's why we had Seth Rollins win that title at 31.
Well, let's talk to someone who has another take on this. Former Busted Open alum, One of the smartest women I know in the world of wrestling, one and only Miss Mary Grader. Mary, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How's it going?
Bad. As you can tell, we're elated at the fact that Bill Goldberg is now the Universal Champion.
Mary, you're not happy that Goldberg's champion?
I was waiting for you guys to like ask me about it because I've just kind of been like, meh, for the last 10 minutes.
You're numb to it now?
I understand everybody being enraged about it, but like, were you expecting anything less? Like, are you not entertained? Like,
no.
Everybody knew this was going to happen.
Are you Sheamus all of a sudden? Are you not entertained? What's going on here? Don't be copying promos, Mary. Come on.
Wait, give me a second. It's unfortunate. You know what I mean? But, and it's very unfortunate because, in my opinion, Kevin Owens has been killing it. I don't care if he's had help or anything like that. He's been a great heel champ. And it just proves that, on another level again, Vince McMahon is completely out of touch. And, like, I mean, the crowd loved it. I don't get it. You know what I mean? But, like, the guy can only go for 4 seconds. Like, how are you going to do this at WrestleMania? Like, you've got, potentially, you've got Bray Wyatt versus Luke Harper and or Randy Orton and or AJ Styles, and like that match is going to blow it out of the fucking water. So like, how are you going to sit there and actually like try to be like, oh yeah, Goldberg versus Lesnar, this worked at WrestleMania 20, right guys?
Like, oh, yeah, we all remember that class.
Maybe Austin can ref the match.
And you know what, Mary brings up a great point, because we are going to have at least 2 guaranteed really good matches with Jericho and Owens,
hey,
and the WWE Championship match, because AJ Styles is going to be somehow involved with that, hopefully.
Orton and
Wyatt are going to deliver a good match, I think. But the main event, we all know Lesnar and Goldberg is closing the show.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I'm now starting to get why Vince put the title on Goldberg. I mean, he really wants that extra promotion when Goldberg goes to the AARP members only country kitchen buffet.
To
get those guys with the hats of what section of the military they were in during the Vietnam War to go to WrestleMania.
Am I like even trying to cut you off? Like, let's like put like age aside or whatever like that. Like, okay, yeah, Goldberg's super old. That's not even a contention, because he looks great. Like, let's be honest. Well, the guy can never fucking wrestle to begin with. But like, no. If you put Kurt Angle in that thing right now, like Kurt Angle coming back, everybody would be way happier with Kurt Angle winning the title. Look how old Kurt Angle is. You know what I mean? Because the guy's a fucking wrestler. You could put fucking so-called Steve Austin in that position. The fact is that they're like banking on something. Like, they're doing nostalgia, and I get it. They're placating and they're catering to us right now, our generation. Like, they're like, oh, it's a big thing. That's why you see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a big thing. That's why you see Transformers coming back.
Power Rangers.
It's not whatever, but like, yep. The whole entire joke is right now is that you built up Kevin Owens and then you squashed him a little bit after the whole John Cena thing, and then like you put the title on him, and it was a mistake because Balor got injured. Granted, he wasn't supposed to have the title to begin with. But, like, then you're going to come in and, like, just stick this guy in for a fucking video game and to lose to Brock Lesnar. Because there's no way that Goldberg is going over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
No.
He's lost twice. They already fucked up Brock to begin with.
I want to hold it past him, though.
Let's not even get into the storyline of the streak and all that stuff. But, like, this is ridiculous. It was 20 seconds. You had a guy who was champ for 8 months, and he was carrying it, and he was doing it as a heel thing, and not to be like the CM Punk girl, but you're giving him the Punk fucking treatment. But at the same time, those scars
run deep for Mary. CM Punk.
Yeah. Getting that title off of Punk, then Goldberg was getting the title off of Kevin Owens, and I'm so pissed off about The Rock taking the title off of Punk because it was bullshit.
Throughout throughout the pay-per-view, when it was getting closer to the main event, I was like, this feels like Royal Rumble 2013. I have that same feeling.
Here's one guarantee, guys. Everyone on that card is going at least 25 minutes. Because we were looking at the clock. It was 10:20 in Bailey and
this includes the pre-show as well?
Yeah, and we were like, wait a minute. Isn't Brock and Owens coming up?
Yeah.
And they only lasted like 5 minutes.
So think about it like this too. That means everybody on WrestleMania is going to get at least like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 12 Omega Okadas
Again, Owens and Jericho are going to steal the show in a classic.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, but the thing is, and that's going to be a great match. Like, I'm not going to say that Owens and Jericho is not going to be a good match, but, like, it should be Owens versus Jericho title versus title, in my opinion.
Thank you. I definitely agree.
That's what it should be. Like, you know what I mean? Because Jericho, and let's go back to the old thing. Like, Jericho's old, you know what I mean? He's pushing fucking 50 at this point. Like, he's 45. Jericho deserves that title more than fucking Goldberg deserves that title, because Jericho is a fucking wrestler.
But Jericho is not a nostalgic act, and he's not the star of the video game, and he's not demanding six figures to show up and take a dump on Monday Night Raw, which is literally what Goldberg has been doing.
And last I remember too, Jericho at this age in this stage in his career has done great jobs of reinventing himself. He's not doing the same shtick every now and then.
He's going on the road trips.
He's going on the road trips. He's doing the house shows, which Goldberg and Brock Lesnar aren't doing.
But hey, guys, no, seriously though, Goldberg's reinventing himself. He's resorting to calling Owens and Jericho ladies when they were.
Oh, that's right. And he needs security to go to the ring because reasons. I don't know.
Because he's that much of a badass that he needs security around him when he walks to the ring.
I can't speak for you guys, but the sense I'm getting here, for me, at least I feel more down and depressed, because guys like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens who have had great years should be rewarded and should have that opportunity. You know, nothing against Goldberg and stuff. Again, if it's a business standpoint thing, all right, fine. You have to accept it for what it is. But it's a shame that a guy like Kevin Owens, who's done all this great work leading up to it, and the Festival of Friendship with Jericho had a better realistic storyline, and AJ's been kicking out of the park since 2016, had a great 2017 early on. I mean, it's a shame these guys aren't getting the moments that they deserve.
And if you're a guy like, for example, Kenny Omega, he made the right choice.
Yep.
Made the right choice.
Absolutely.
Well, like, if you're going to go back to it, Kevin Owens right now is, where he's at, it was almost the CM Punk level. Like, granted, if Punk didn't leave, none of these guys would be fucking here right now. But, like, he's absolutely 100% getting the fucking same treatment, because nobody, in my personal opinion, has been able to be a heel and be that suave and be that fucking coherent or anything since Punk. So it's just kind of a travesty is that, like, how they look at these people. And it goes back to the streak, too. You know what I mean? Like, you had Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar, and they beat this, like, they built this guy up. Like, they fucked him when he first came back. You had the Cena lose. You had the Triple H lose. And then they built him, and then he broke the streak, okay? And that's a torch-bearing thing. I don't even care, like, if Brock has a title or not. And then you're going to have a lose to a 50-year-old, some guy that's older than him, who never really could go in the ring to begin with. He was just a fucking, like, facade. Asuka is about to beat his fucking streak. Let's be honest. A chick is going to beat his fucking streak, and she's an actual fucking wrestler. So we go past that and stuff, and it's just, like, they missed the bullet. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, if Kevin Owens beat Brock Lesnar, okay, and it was for the title, you know what I mean? And Kevin Owens was like, I'm going against Brock Lesnar, and he's been undefeated, and he retains. Do you know how much of that is a push for Kevin Owens to be the fucking, like, new generation of this company? Like, is everybody missing that right now? Because I'm not missing that.
They had every chance to make Kevin Owens the face of the WWE, and they crashed and burned with one fell swoop in the name of Bill Goldberg.
You know the messed up part? Is this happened right after they started taking Owens in a more serious direction like they should have the whole time.
It was to make Goldberg stronger.
Yep.
That's why. That's what it was for. They shifted away from that, what we call the baby heel that Kevin Owens was.
Yeah.
He attacked Chris Jericho, just like they did the NXT version of Kevin Owens for 2 weeks.
Maybe trade Sami Zayn.
Right. And then he comes in, and it's just to make Goldberg stronger. And you guys are talking about Kevin Owens as the guy. They have their tunnel vision. They know who it is, and it's going to be Roman Reigns. So all this, like I was telling you guys before, it's a build. It's a build for Goldberg to lose to Brock. Then Brock is the guy.
To lose at SummerSlam to Roman Reigns.
That's their guy. It's not Kevin Owens. It's Roman Reigns.
Such a tragic fucking situation. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I really don't. Like, I understand trying to find a John Cena, like, replacement and stuff like that. And they found it. It was AJ Styles. Like, AJ Styles as a heel has been phenomenal and stuff like that, but even when, like, he first came in and he was doing his face run, he was made to fucking replace John Cena as a face. His fans wanted AJ Styles. They knew who he was. And now they're still trying to push this thing because AJ Styles is not a WWE bred guy. So this all goes down to semantics, and Roman Reigns is an inbred guy, and they want him to be the face of the company, but it's not working. And they're leaving money on the table with making Roman Reigns a heel. Everybody knows that. They're leaving money on the table with making John Cena a fucking heel at this point, because if he turned, at this point, he would be bigger than Hulk Hogan. This is just, like, so much of a show of showing that this man is booking on Raw, because we're not even talking about SmackDown. SmackDown's fine, right?
It's great.
No, SmackDown has been perfect.
For a two-hour show, they put more content out than a three-hour Raw does.
Yeah,
exactly. SmackDown's been killing it. And, like it's all, like, you're looking at, like, stuff, like, you can compare everything. It's the same thing with Charlotte dropping the belt. Like, they should have let Charlotte be the dominant female this whole entire time, not dropping it on Raw. Like, if he were her...
And then winning it at the next pay-per-view.
Which, by the way, her streak is over now.
Because
Bayley's retained the title.
They wasted it on Fastlane.
They wasted Charlotte losing it on pay-per-view at WrestleMania. They wasted it to a... I'm with Corey Graves. The Queen got robbed tonight, guys. Like, the booking tonight just did not make sense to me.
Not only the booking, but the execution of a lot of things, too, was just sloppy.
Also, like Corey Graves said, shut up, Saxton.
You could have built up Charlotte this whole time and had her not drop the belt. If she dropped the belt to Sasha, kept the belt on Sasha, the top potato with the fucking title was bullshit. Kept the title on Charlotte, let it go, and then have Asuka come up at WrestleMania, and then it'd be Charlotte versus Asuka, the undefeated versus the undefeated, and one of them come out as the dominant female.
I didn't even think of having Asuka come in. That would have been great.
Double titles. But it wouldn't have mattered. It would have still been way better than what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I think the point Mary's trying to make too, and I'm kind of wanted to tell you guys as well. It's like when you have the Goldberg thing, it's not about the fact that Goldberg's 55 and he's now the Universal Champion. It's like, to me, they're trying the WWE the hardest to use these nostalgics to make the titles mean more. When I've always been a firm believer, it's the individuals in the match fighting for the title, which makes it so much more important. If you had Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, that whole story they had helps bring and elevate that title to be more important. So when Brock Lesnar does win and Roman wins eventually, it's going to mean more.
And I'll add on to that. Like, I would not have mind if Goldberg came back. I'm not saying don't bring Goldberg back. I'm saying the way that they are booking Bill Goldberg, squashing people left and right, I can't believe I'm saying this. He almost sort of buried Lesnar and what Lesnar has done prior to Survivor Series. And now he just, in my opinion, just chopped Owens' momentum off at the knees. And now Owens and Jericho have to deliver a classic at WrestleMania to bring back, like, their momentum, I think. Goldberg is just not... I wouldn't have cared if he came back for a nostalgic act and had a match with Lesnar. Fine, go ahead. At least have the match be somewhat competitive and not be a classic Goldberg match. Because I feel like this main event, I was watching WCW in early 2000 again.
But, like, you know what he means, like, even more of a shot to the gut is, like, yeah, they're doing this whole shit with, like, Goldberg, but then, like, what about Sting? Like, you couldn't even have Sting go over in, like, his first match in the WWE. Like, Sting was way more important than Goldberg was, ever.
And not to mention...
We're talking about that, about marking out better Sting over Seth Rollins instead of Goldberg beating Kevin Owens.
I wouldn't have minded, because, and what did I say to you guys? The difference is... Goldberg came in, and I guarantee it, he demanded that he gets a title shot and gets the belt put on him. Sting, when he came in, he had one request, as far as I know, is he wishes he could have faced The Undertaker. Yeah. That's what he wanted.
That's his demand. His only demand
was to maybe face The Undertaker. Too little, too late. We'll never see the match. Fine. But he came in, and he didn't demand a title shot. He came in and said, I just want to say I wrestled at WrestleMania once. I don't care about anything else. I appreciate and get a good payday, of course. But Sting never demanded anything. Goldberg, I guarantee it, demanded an insane amount of pay and a title put on him. Whether it's for a month or whatever, that's the difference between Sting and Goldberg. And that's why I think if Sting would have gone over on Seth Rollins, you know what? It made sense for the story. And I think I would have been happy to say, oh, you know what, Sting, you've wrestled everywhere throughout your whole life for 30 years. You deserve this. Even if it's just for a little while, you can say you were WWE champion at least once in your life.
Yep.
But no, what happened? Sting had to come in. And Triple H inserted himself into the match, and they had the Monday Night Wars reenacted on WrestleMania. Now, granted, was it nostalgic? Of course it was. But you wasted Sting's one and now only WrestleMania match, and he lost to Triple H in goofy interference. And just to say, hey, WCW, we won. That's all Sting ever was in WWE.
Yeah.
But that was my point. It wasn't even about the Rollins-Sting match. It was about the Sting-Triple H match. And that just goes back even to, like, what I was saying before, like, Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. Like, Triple H couldn't lose. You know what I mean? So what's going to happen when Seth Rollins and Triple H happens? Like, it makes you, like, worry.
If it
you know
happens.
What I mean?
Because I still have my ifs about Seth Rollins' health.
Well, now at this point, but when it happens and it's going to happen, like, is Triple H going to put Seth Rollins over? Like, do you even
the
think
right thing
for,
to
like,
do is
seconds?
To put him over?
I think he would.
I mean, if he put Daniel Bryan over, I think he could put Seth Rollins over. I think Triple H finally now at that point has realized, you know what? My time in the spotlight is done. I'm running the show now, and the fans know that I run the show now, basically. So you know what? Let me do the right thing. Let me stay face with the fans and let me put over the people who deserve to be put over. I think Triple H is going to do the right thing and put Rollins over. But you're right. All those years of Triple H just going over on people he should not have gone over in particular bookings. Part of me still thinks, you know what? He could go over Rollins in their match.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. At 29, he beat Brock Lesnar. 30, he dropped to Daniel Bryan, gave him his moment because the crowd, everybody was just behind him. Wasn't going to be the original plan, right? 31, he beat Sting. Makes no sense. And then last year, he tries to put Roman Reigns over, fails miserably. He put Seth Rollins over, great, but if we have Triple H, bona fide Hall of Famer, now constantly keep losing, does it give that much of a rub to the next guy who beats him? Because now everybody seems to be able to beat Triple H.
I think to young fans today, they're like, "Oh, what does it mean that this guy keeps losing? Why is he billed as such a big, powerful guy?" Us, on the other hand, who remember Triple H in his heyday, well, look at that. You know what? He's given his dues to the new guys. He's paying dues to the new guys coming in. And
no, we understand that, but
we understand that. But young
the fact
fans,
that the casual fan that watches, especially around this time, WrestleMania. Are not going to understand that. Well,
no, young,
this
especially
guy is,
young fans.
This guy is so built up, yet he's always losing. What's going on here? It makes no sense.
Mary, thoughts?
Mary's speechless because she agrees.
Wait, I'm really quiet. Wait, did you chime in?
I'm tagging you in, Mary. Come back.
What are you asking my opinion about?
Give me the hot tag. No, basically, what I was mentioning to the guys was that, you know, putting, like you said, Triple H is going to put Rollins over, right? So at this point right now in Triple H, obviously a bona fide Hall of Famer, does it have that much of an importance? Does he get the rub? Is that much more prestige, the fact that Triple H hasn't had the best record as of late? So
even
it gives the wrong impression.
Like Triple H, I still think that it's an important thing. Yeah. It's just as important as John Cena putting people over now. You know what I mean? I think it's a little too late for John Cena, but like Triple H is in charge. You know what I mean? So like him putting people over is still very, very important. And I don't think
over?
You should like
Daniel
look
Bryan?
Past that. Do I think
Bray
that
Wyatt?
He's going to put Rollins over?
AJ Styles was already over before
think
John.
He is because he's one of his guys. But now we have like the Joe shit and Owen stuff. And I still think that like hopefully maybe there's like a rhyme to the madness that's going on with that. And that Triple H is trying to build like a stable that is, NXT guys that he's picked out. He's going to exclude Seth Rollins from it, and I think that's where this is actually going because you got Owens and then you have Joe. So, I think it is an important thing if Seth Rollins gets put over from Triple H, despite what his record is right now. He's still Triple H, you know what I mean? Like, as much as he rode the coattails of everybody and married, you know, the owner's wife, he's still 40-something, and
daughter.
He's still putting out good matches, you know what I mean? It's like going back and looking at The Miz right now. Like, all of a sudden, The Miz is doing great, great stuff. Like, once you're a veteran, if you got to that level, like, I still think it's super important if you're putting people over, despite who you are. So, I don't really think that, like, Triple H's losses mean anything, like, detriment to anybody else. You know, like, that's just my opinion. I think that it's very important if Triple H comes out of this and, like, Seth Rollins does happen at WrestleMania, or even if it happens at SummerSlam, I think it's very important if Triple H puts him over. If he doesn't put him over and you have Roman Reigns holding titles, then we've got a problem, which we've always had a problem.
Very big problem.
I don't even think that they wanted Seth Rollins in that position to begin with. They wanted Roman in that position, but, you know, it wasn't working. And, like, it's kind of that Daniel Bryan factor that's, like, working in that still a little. But, you know, Roman Reigns is going to be Roman Reigns, so, they haven't pulled the trigger on that. They haven't pulled the trigger on a PhD, so what do I know? I'm just some chick watching wrestling.
I love how you end all that statement. What do I know anyway? Okay.
I just have boobs.
I mean, the one thing, though, with the whole thing with the Triple H stable now, like, tonight was the perfect opportunity to start that and have, like, Joe come out and destroy Goldberg and just have a match not happen so Goldberg doesn't take an L. But Owens also doesn't get embarrassed in 22 seconds. And they could have built the stable around Owens as champ with Samoa Joe. And we'll say the Revival as, like, the Anderson and Blanchard of the four. And
they could have.
That was a missed opportunity now. No, instead, they make the guy who will be the centerpiece of that stable look weak by getting squashed by Goldberg. But then they'll be like, oh, but we protected him because Jericho distracted him, which is kind of like saying, let's give you, like, you're going to go into an actual sword fight. They're going to have actual swords. Here's this plastic toy shovel we got from the dollar store. Good luck, bro.
So we've all had our thoughts about Goldberg, Lesnar, and what's going to happen with the Universal title. What about the other major title match tonight? That was the women's title match. We briefly mentioned about the missed opportunity for Charlotte to have her first loss on pay-per-view at WrestleMania. Yep. And I think they missed another opportunity tonight to turn Sasha Banks heel because, hear me out, Sasha comes out, congratulates Bayley, and then she turns heel and says, you won because of me. That's the storyline. She saved Bayley's ass twice in these matches with Charlotte. Perfect chance for Sasha to turn heel, which I think might happen tomorrow.
I think it either happens tomorrow
or
the
day after Mania.
And then
that sets up the three-way rivalry, and then add Nia Jax in there.
Because she's not like other girls.
Right.
I think that that's going to happen, and I think that Sasha and Charlotte are going to align, and it's actually going to form the Four Horsemen, or the Four Horsewomen, or whatever, and it's not going to be with Bayley, and they're going to have somebody else in there. And I think it might actually be somebody who's returning. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Mickie James or anything like that because, like, I'm kind of sour on the Mickie James return. But, like, I feel like that's what it's going towards. You're absolutely right. They missed an opportunity, but they're dragging out to WrestleMania. Bayley, I love Bayley, but she hasn't been transitioning very well to the main roster. Everybody thought she was going to be John Cena, and it's not, like, working. That's why it goes back to what I said. Like, I think that Charlotte should have just been a dominant force, and they should have just been building this to Asuka coming up and being undefeated and the two of them going at it.
Right.
Well, for me, the whole Bayley thing and how she's not been transitioning well, I think she was victim of the fact that they brought her up at a point where they hadn't brought her up and God knows how long, so a few months wouldn't have hurt. She was caught right in the middle of the Charlotte-Sasha Banks rivalry. So, of course, she didn't have any momentum. So everything was already working against her at that time. For me, my biggest thing with the women's division, especially the Raw Women's Championship, is, like you said, they blew a great opportunity to have Charlotte lose at a very important event like WrestleMania. No offense to Fastlane, but nobody cares. And also,
this is just a filler pay-per-view for WrestleMania.
And it could have been a great moment, too, for Sasha Banks to finally turn to what I think is more natural to her being a heel. And so you had all that working with you, and plus the title flip-flopping back and forth, to me, makes it lose a lot of momentum, because if I'm going to wait till 2 weeks from Raw for Charlotte to, for example, like Bayley drops the title on Raw, and now Charlotte goes in WrestleMania, but then she loses it to Sasha. It goes back and forth so much you can't keep up with it, and it loses its momentum.
And once again, SmackDown, where they book their titles, the world title, like Dean Ambrose had it for a few months, dropped the AJ, who had it for like 4 to 5 months. He could have had it for another 5 or 6 more months and I'd be fine with it. But I mean, Cena only held it for 2 weeks, but I think that was only meant for him to put over Bray Wyatt and to get number 16
out of the way. And that goes back to nostalgia too. What was the point of that? After everything AJ had accomplished, just because we want to make, the Royal Rumble, do you remember the Rumble? Do you remember when John Cena now became the 16-time champion just for that, and then have him drop the title 2 weeks later?
Oh,
it's a shot in the face, in my opinion. If I'm AJ, I'm like, that's kind of disrespectful.
Oh, I remember, Jeff. I remember, but
doing that just to like build up to this 17th title, and that.
And the thing is, they made a big deal of him getting to 16, but 16 is not the important one that needs the lengthy reign.
They want to get to 17 really bad.
So they got it out of the way, and I've heard that Cena wanted to be the guy to actually put Wyatt over. Like to be the champion to put him over, because of the fact that the WrestleMania feud they had a couple years ago made Bray look weak.
Yeah, there are reports that Cena insisted on being the one to put Wyatt over, which, I mean, kudos to John Cena if that's true.
Because he was on life support. They killed that character. Like, I was totally, like, Wyatt is actually starting to be, like, okay with me again, because they murdered him. They buried him, and I think it was 5 years too late. And kudos to John if he finally was like, I don't even think that like John had a say in beating Wyatt originally. That is again politics and
again at WrestleMania 30. Right. Yeah,
I think they just wanted to have Cena win that match a few years ago, and Cena wasn't exactly going to be the type to say no.
I think Cena is more of a. You know what? I may not agree with it, but you know what? You're the boss. All right, I'll go.
Yeah, he's a company guy.
Yeah, he'll state his case, but if Vince says, no, we're still doing it this way, Cena's still going to do it this way, even if it involves making out with the on-screen girlfriend of his buddy, Zack Ryder, and making Zack Ryder look a complete shit, and just cutting the legs out of the push that Zack Ryder had. If Daddy Vince says it, Johnny Boy will do it.
Yeah, company.
But like going back to Cena, this whole transitional title, it's just to build up momentum for him to break
I think it happens at SummerSlam.
But I don't think it's going to be a while before Cena gets his 17th title.
Think that too. I don't think it's going to be at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be a while.
Much later, yeah.
But like, I have my conspiracy theories. Yeah, right. I think they're, leaving money on the table with, like, Cena trying to go after that 17th title and Ric Flair, like, completely, like, just fucking it up, like, every single chance, like, causing interference, like, being like, this is not going to happen, and, like, somehow Cena turning heel in this whole entire thing. Because if he's going to be the 17th champ and he's going to have the record, I mean, Flair was always a heel. You know what I mean? He was the bad guy, and that's how he got all those titles.
But Flair's gone on publicly.
John Cena's got to do it.
Flair's gone on publicly, Mary, to say how much he loves John Cena, how he'd want him to break the record, too.
It's John Stewart.
What's he going to say? No, I don't want Cena to win that. Oh, by the way, I like those checks Vince is bringing in. That's why I say those things.
Exactly.
As long as it's not John Stewart interfering, that's all.
Hey, Vince, you're going to keep pushing my daughter to be the face of the Raw Women's Division? Yeah. All right, yay! Yes, Cena! He's the best!
Ric Flair's like, I love John Cena so much, I'm okay with him breaking my record as long as the checks for the girls my daughter's age, the alcohol and the plane tickets keep getting cashed and clearing.
Disagreeing with you. I'm not saying that Flair wouldn't do that, but like you could still do that and have an amazing storyline. Like, you know what I mean? Like him trying to fuck him up, like trying to be like, no, you're not getting this, and like interfering and like causing all this stuff, and like finally pushing John to the brink that like he's like, I gotta be dirty to get this title. Because that's all he wants. At this point, John is a part-timer. And the only thing that he wants is to get that record. You know what I mean? To be the greatest ever in WWE. Like, bigger than Hogan and stuff like that. But you have Flair, who, like, he's the man. Like, I'm sorry. I'm a Flair girl. I'm not a Hogan girl. like, fuck Hulk Hogan. Like, fuck him in the ass. Like, I don't give a shit about
him. WWE feels
I care about Flair.
I'm sure Bubba loves SpongeBob to film that.
She just went Iron Sheik on us for a second.
Yes, I did. I totally did.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan in the ass.
No good storyline. And I could sit here and do she conspiracy theories all day, but it's got to happen at some point, because every wrestler that is a legend says that you have to evolve and you have to change. And, like, look at Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho always did that. So for John Cena to, like, legitimately, like, be, like, that guy and everybody not poo-poo on it, he's got to change himself at some point. And now is the time. You know what I mean? He has replacements. There are people that can be his replacements at this point. And he said that he wouldn't do it until there was a replacement. Going back to him and Rock, he said he was going to go heel, and they mixed it. You know, so it's got to be now. If he's getting that 17th title,
do it.
He's got to go heel. That's my personal opinion. Everybody can argue with me about it.
He needs to do a heel turn, and not a literal heel turn like he did once in a promo.
Which I thought was smart, by the way.
It was clever. Smart of him.
Such a wise ass John Cena. Hate you, damn it. But let's also talk about the mere fact, too, that, you know, no title is on the line, but in terms of momentum, Braun Strowman losing clean to Roman Reigns.
We're
talking about what do you do with Kevin Owens now? What's going on in the title picture? I mean, what's going on with Braun Strowman now? How do you book him now towards WrestleMania?
They took the token tall big guy in the Wyatt family
and
turned him into a very entertaining, very intimidating, very good big monster heel on Raw, lose in Roman Reigns in his Air Jordans on the pay-per-view and lose clean.
All that work that they did to build up Braun Strowman now has big dog turds all over it.
What do you think, Jeff? Come on, you're being a little bit silent.
They do all that build-up, and I'm like, wow. And then now, Braun Strowman, what are they going to do? They're going to give him the Andre Giant Battle Royal, I guess, at Mania.
Oh, God.
I mean, what else?
What he's reduced to.
You mean the Andre Battle Royal?
Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know that, right?
Yeah. The Andre Battle Royal that has a 33% success rate for the wrestlers who wins them. Fuck you, Vince, and your treatment of Cesaro.
It went so good for Cesaro at Baron Corbin.
Corbin's going to be pushed, but Big Show is the second winner. Which, by the way, guys, I think I'm going to start a gig of the Cesaro fans just refuge meetings. I think we need this at this point because...
Oh, yeah, the Cesaro. the brass ring, right, that he'll never, ever catch.
And no matter what he does, he could just do all the flippy shit for the size he is, get a million times better on promos, and Vince will be like, I don't see it.
He actually got something out of Jinder Mahal tonight.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm like, come on.
Which I want to point out, like, how bad this pay-per-view have to be that of the top three segments, one of them was an Austin Aries promo that we've seen on Raw for the past few weeks.
Who Rusev piss off now in the back that he's losing now?
Yeah, right? Like, which, you know what, though? Tonight is an upgrade from him having to be considered the bad guy for defending his wife.
Yeah.
Against heels who were faces who were acting the heel. Like, that made no sense whatsoever.
What also didn't make sense, too, is we saw no Brock Lesnar. We all saw Paul Heyman, thank God.
No Undertaker.
And no Undertaker. So, talking about, for example, like Charlotte being champion to WrestleMania and losing, like Mary said, being undefeated and dominant and losing an event like WrestleMania to make it more important. Like Braun Strowman, really, you're going to make him lose clean on an event before WrestleMania like that? Like, put him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
If they were going to not have Braun Strowman win that match, they should have just had, like,
Undertaker interfere.
Yeah. Or have Reigns just go apeshit on Strowman with weapons and get himself DQ'd.
Yeah, exactly. No DQ.
Or, you know what? If you wanted to have the clean finish and have Strowman look vulnerable, which to me, just no. You know, they were playing his music and he was celebrating in the rain for quite some time. I'm like, okay, if they're going to plant the seeds for this Taker match.
We'll hear one dong.
Now's the time. Now's the time. Taker just cleans house and wipes both of them out.
You know what's sad? Well, not sad because of who's involved, but the guy who was protected the most in a loss was in the opening match of the pay-per-view, Sami Zayn.
That's sad.
I mean, I like Sami Zayn, so it's not that part's not sad. It's just someone in the first match got protected way more than like the guy who's been the champion of the brand for a while. I'm okay with the fact that Sami Zayn got a bunch of offense in Samoa Joe, and it was a competitive match that made Sami look just as good as it made Joe look.
Mm-hmm.
But like that
but
was
here's the sad thing: Sami wouldn't even be in that position unless Seth Rollins got injured.
Yeah,
so that makes you already points out the fact that they had nothing planned for Sami Zayn at all.
Yeah, or if no, the original plan was Sami versus Jericho for the U.S. title.
Okay.
Which is why they had him beat Jericho in the match on Raw, that one Raw.
Okay.
To set that matchup, and then once Rollins was hurt and they had to reshape everything, they had the U.S. title match after that. But like, that was the only instance where they protected the guy who lost the match. Because Sami Zayn is starting to get that like Daniel Bryan-type fan support.
I think I should put the mask back on.
So, final thoughts, because it is getting late. We have to wrap up here, mm-hmm. but... Final thoughts on Fastlane. I personally think there are a lot of missed opportunities to plant seeds for really cool shit to happen at WrestleMania, which I think they're going to save for Raw because SmackDown has been beating Raw in ratings. SmackDown has been the better show. I think they saved everything to happen on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night.
There's a lot of holy shit
moments. Who knows what's going to happen on Raw tomorrow night? We're going to have an update of Seth Rollins' rehab, which it does not. Part of me wants to believe that they're doing this in kayfabe to hopefully see that he can make Mania.
I think that's.
But yeah. Chances are, I think him versus Triple H happens at SummerSlam. I think he misses WrestleMania again. But as far as the show tonight, a lot of missed opportunity. The matches themselves were eh. Roman should not have gone over on Strowman, yeah. And the decimation of Kevin Owens' Universal title reign, I'm speechless by what is happening. Because
we're
it is
speechless,
so,
but we're not surprised.
We're not surprised, but we're speechless. Because how can anyone not see the big picture here of what Vince's plan ultimately is? We all know now that Lesnar is going to beat Goldberg at Mania, title or no title.
And
but now that it's for the title, and then at SummerSlam... Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, that is just
And what sucks is there's not even
just
a
disgusting taste in my mouth.
There's not even a Money in the Bank briefcase to give WrestleMania a mulligan.
No, there isn't.
There's still time. They can still try.
I'm glad I didn't cough
up
the money that these guys coughed up to go to Mania. Let's just say that.
I'm going to Florida. I'm going to enjoy the sun and the atmosphere and the experience. Because here's the thing. Reality, for 29, it was a makeshift. 30 was a makeshift. So 31, 32, now this one, it's like you're going there. But believe it or not, the money I'm forking down for it is one thing. But for me, I can only speak for me. You have to ask Jeff. It was more the experience of being down there.
It's going to be everything else that's over there.
Everything you want. The outcomes of the matches are sometimes, they are what they are. But like in terms of this event, Fastlane, it's like you're not surprised it happened. For me, I'm just nervous because 30 days might seem like a lot of time, but it's not really a lot of time if you've already thought ahead of what you're going to do here. There are a lot of gaps in storylines right now which don't make a lot of sense, especially on SmackDown with the whole AJ Styles, WWE Championship thing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me why they're doing it. But again, I'm just kind of nervous a little bit and also a little frustrated the fact that, man, they're waiting until the very last minute to make these changes.
Mary, last thoughts on the pay-per-view.
They do this every year. Like, are you really that nervous? They always wait to the last minute with WrestleMania. The problem with the WWE is that they don't build storylines anymore. It's never like, okay, WrestleMania is over, and we're going to reset and like start and build to the next year. They always scramble. And case in point is Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? Like, that shit should have been on lockdown, and it should have been in a thing. And they were still trying to force what they wanted to do 30 days out. 30 days out. Does anybody remember Brian being a member of the Wyatt family?
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't like want to recognize it. So, are you really that like surprised that like they're scrambling again and you have no idea what's going on? We don't know what's going on with the Undertaker. We don't know what's going on with John Cena. We don't. You know what I mean? Like, this shit should be on lockdown at this point. But for you to say that like you're surprised, like, and you're nervous. You shouldn't be, because this is what they do every year, because they don't know what they're doing, and then they get, like, that fans in upheaval, and they try to appease everybody, but they still go with the part-timers and the nostalgic acts, because they still haven't learned that they need to evolve.
No, I'm not saying I'm nervous or surprised. I didn't say I was surprised. I wasn't surprised at the outcome of it. I said I'm nervous for the mere fact that I'm flushing down a good amount of money for this shit, and second of all, the mere fact, too, is that...
You do it every year, though.
Yeah, but all right, I get it. But the mere fact, too, that even before then, all the other cards and all the storylines were kind of set in line. So this is the first time in a while that I've seen this. And I'm just kind of freaked out for the fact that, hey, you got to set this up because you're promoting this stuff and you got to get it done. Do I care where the storyline goes? Not really. It gives me more stuff to talk about on the show with Jeff. So,
all right, I'll ask you this. This is how many WrestleManias now you've been to?
It's be four.
From 29 on, so it'll be four WrestleManias.
Four WrestleManias.
Lucky bastard. So you guys have been to four WrestleManias. I've been to one. Mary, you've been to, you went to 29, right?
29. I was the only one I've been to.
We've all, Mike,
I haven't been to one yet.
You haven't been to one, so you're irrelevant. we've all been to a WrestleMania, at least one.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I went to WrestleMania 20. I saw the return of the Dead Man persona of The Undertaker. I saw the dud that was Goldberg Lesnar 1. And there were a lot of great matches at WrestleMania 20. Yeah. And, I mean, yes, the tragedy with Benoit happened about a year or so later, but that was one of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time, and I was there to witness it live. I walked away from my WrestleMania experience, going to the Hall of Fame, going to the bed and breakfast with the stars or whatever, and the show itself, completely satisfied because of the experience of going to WrestleMania. Is it the same for you guys? I mean, 29 was a bit of a dud of a Mania, too, aside from CM Punk Undertaker.
No, definitely. It was a dud, and I'll let Jeff speak for a second there, but the expectations of it weren't high. 29, 30, we didn't know what was going on with Daniel Bryan. 31, 32, we're kind of up in the air. We didn't know what was going on. But ultimately, when we did our like little post videos after the show, we're like, well, we're pleasantly surprised. It was actually better than we anticipated from the way it was promoted going into it.
30 was the best by
Mary,
far.
What are your thoughts about your experience at WrestleMania? Were you still satisfying the experience saying, you know, it wasn't a good pay-per-view. It wasn't a good show. But you know what? It's WrestleMania. It's like going to the Super Bowl. What were your thoughts about your WrestleMania experience after you went?
All right. So 29 was my first experience, and like I was super stoked for it. I mean, obviously, I was there to see Punk, and like Punk Undertaker stole the show. And then
absolutely.
You had Rock, Cena, and I left before the match was over because it was awful. It was disappointing, and like Brock and Triple H happened, and like you were like, I can't believe Triple H beat Brock Lesnar because it's unbelievable. So, you know, I walked out. I left early because I could just see where the whole entire like Rock holding John Cena's hand and being like completely disgusted about it, and I don't care what the Rock says. I don't care if he says that he pulled abs or whatever. He was not happy with that outcome.
No, he did not look happy at all.
You know, and it's a conspiracy theory. But I walked out and I was like, I enjoyed the access and all that stuff, and I enjoyed Punk and Undertaker's match. I thought it was great, and I think that's actually the last good match that Undertaker has had. Like, so I got to see that, and I think it was bullshit that if you were going to end the streak the next year for Brock Lesnar, for now what's going on, like looking in retrospect, I think that Punk should have beat Taker, in my opinion. Like, he was doing the best mind games and he was doing the best things that he could. It didn't happen. So, like, I kind of walked away disappointed because of Rock Cena. Like, Rock Cena ruined it for me. Like, the rest of it, I would have been okay with it, but Rock Cena ruined it for me because it was just bullshit.
But at least you had that one match that you always remember.
Once in a lifetime.
And them not being secure enough to put their stuff in people like CM Punk. They're still at that stage. Now they have all these indie people, but they're still not secure enough to do it. Case in point, Kevin Owens.
It's got
to
be their guy.
So I walked away kind of disappointed. But it was a great experience because it was my first WrestleMania experience.
And you won the ticket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you found it, right? And
she found Caitlyn. Celeste Bonin now.
I won tickets. Yeah. I wasn't even supposed to go. Yeah, I won tickets from Caitlyn. I found her at Hot Topic in the Garden City Plaza. It was amazing.
It's
I had a great experience.
Caitlyn.
You know what I mean? The whole tour of that whole entire thing was amazing to me. It was my first pay-per-view that I ever went to, and it was great. And I got to bring my friend Rob with me, and we had a great time.
And that probably makes the experience more fun because she did all that. She wasn't planning on going.
I pissed off because of Rock Cena. And that was it. Rock Cena ruined it for me. But the rest of it was great.
I you know what? I think you said something that really like is stuck with me now. That I completely agree with you. That was the last really great Undertaker match was against CM Punk. I mean, he had a couple decent matches with Lesnar. That Hell in a Cell match was pretty good. Their match at SummerSlam a couple years ago was pretty good. But it didn't blow me away. And that last match with CM Punk was... I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. That was the last really, truly great Undertaker match.
They should have had Punk win that match, and that should have been the last Undertaker match, because he hasn't produced anything anywhere near as good.
I mean, if we're gonna say when Taker should have lost, Randy Orton should have beaten him at WrestleMania 21, I will argue that till the day I die as a wrestling fan, but...
Because that's all Randy Orton needs is more things handed to him.
I mean, never mind. We could talk about this another day for WrestleMania, but...
I think even now, at the way he looks right now and the shape he's in, I still think he could have a good one, but it would have to be the right guy.
It would have to be someone like AJ Styles. Yeah. It would have to be with someone like AJ.
Well, again, something they could have done to reward AJ.
Because Undertaker is so bad.
I do kind of want
Undertaker.
Like, and AJ versus Undertaker could have written itself. The Phenomenal One versus the Phenom.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mike, why are you wishing time here and not writing for them?
Because they don't hire wrestling fans.
Match with Punk, like that's actually what made it. Because like, I remember the only thing I remember about that whole entire pay per view is their entrances, and that like I was with my friend Rob, and he was cheering for the Undertaker because any casual fan will cheer for the Undertaker. You know what I mean? But I was cheering for Punk, and it was just it was a good match. Like Punk, like did it. That was it's the best last match of the Undertaker. But I think it was the last best match of Punk. I think he gave up after that. You know what I mean?
He said it was actually
a very good
thing in that match.
Thing that like made a point, because I think that was the last match that Punk like really gave a shit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like retired.
And the build up too was just
I mean, Punk was amazing.
That's how you build up a great match.
And like putting the ashes on him, and everybody's cheering CM Punk, and he's doing like really awful things, and people are still cheering him. That proves how amazing that man was in this industry. And despite how it ended or what he's doing now, that lost it. Him pouring the ashes over himself and swimming in it, like, it was my favorite
Paul
thing
Bear's
that happened
ashes,
in the last 10 years. Like, he,
which
it was
made
amazing.
It even more disturbing.
So, I'm biased, though.
So, my final thought, too, is they mentioned, jokingly, why am I not part of WWE Creative? You know what? My final
thought.
You
weren't joking, man.
what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a mediocre YouTube comedy show, and that'll probably put me in a better position to get a writing job with WWE than actually being a wrestling fan.
Do something stupid that makes no sense on YouTube, and they'll sign you up.
They'll call you up quickly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll make like a sitcom involving a couple people who are like two friends in a situation, and one's the wacky guy. And they'll be like, hey, he can write for Dean Ambrose. Let's hire him.
Yeah.
Waka, because waka, waka waka hot dog cart, brah.
Jeff, Brian, what are your final thoughts on Fastlane?
Listen, man, again, an underwhelming pay-per-view. Usually towards WrestleMania, you get excited. I got excited for Survivor Series. Kind of underwhelmed. Royal Rumble, eh. Fastlane, I'm scared for WrestleMania, man. But you know what? Going to be in the sun and going to enjoy it, but...
Yeah, he's not going to complain too much,
Failed opportunities by the WWE.
For me, ultimately, I'm just happy it's over.
And they better rev it up Fastlane's tomorrow. Over. That's what I'm going to say. They better rev it up tomorrow.
Mary, you have the final word here. What are your final thoughts on Fastlane?
It was okay. It wasn't anything great. I just wanted to stick in here that, like, I feel bad for the Burgers if, like, you know... they have to get AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon, which is going to suck. In my opinion.
Oh my god! Yeah. You just put that sour taste.
Because AJ Styles deserves better than that.
Yes,
that's
he does.
My he does. Opinion.
Hashtag Phenom versus Phenomenal One. Let's
maybe we can all set up at one point next year, WrestleMania in New Orleans.
I would
love to
love
see Mary there with us
to go there.
That would... for my ticket because Sirius isn't paying for my fucking ticket.
we'll figure something out, Mary. We got a year to figure that out together. Okay,
yeah.
We'll try to make it happen.
Yeah. Whatever.
Mary, I want this whole interview up on SoundCloud within a minute.
All
right,
chop chop. All the things that me and Brian said, put them up first.
I have no like.
All the things I said first because I'm the relevant one.
Right.
He's the writer. He's the future writer.
You can follow her at Mare_Bear on Twitter. Mary, thank you so much for giving us a near hour of your time tonight. That was awesome.
Oh, it's okay. I'm drinking some wine. I'm having fun.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Mary.
All right. Bye, guys.
Later.
We were a little tired, but we started picking it up. We started getting really into
it. Our rage galvanized us.
It's amazing what can happen when you just get angry at something.
Yeah. It's amazing how much energy being pissed all over by Vince McMahon over the course of 3 hours makes you.
But guys, I got to say, though, this was fun, man.
Yes,
this was a lot of fun.
We talked about this when we finally made it happen.
We talked about doing a crossover for quite some time, and I sense something going on here where we should all gather at the end of every pay-per-view and just do crossovers and cross-promotion.
Like WrestleMania, right, guys?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be in Orlando, Florida. So
set up the SDN line from this fancy-schmancy studio you got.
Call
over
B-Knock.
Here.
Let them connect.
Right.
And no, but we should do that.
I should throw myself under the bus here because Mike made the reference. While we were watching the pay-per-view, and not even 20 minutes after they say how excited they are to go to WrestleMania, spend 5 days, whatever, have a grand old vacation in Orlando, Florida for WrestleMania. And I said, oh, you guys should totally come over for WrestleMania. You guys want to come? Fucking idiot I am.
I'll take my Boeing jet.
Honestly, I'm taking my equipment down there. So if you want to do like a pre-WrestleMania, a little mini show, whatever, let me know.
I'll have the ISDN up.
I have a Skype, so let's do it via Skype.
And unlike other post-fight shows, your ISDN will actually work and we'll actually do an hour straight.
Man, so, make a request. Would be this, you're the producer and all. Can I give me the green light to get us out of here? Or is there no way?
Sure. You want to take us out?
No.
The WrestleMania theme.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, so that'll be good. We're doing regular post shows with the Jersey Wrecking Crew and the authors of Ear Pain.
I like this. This is I like this even better, too.
Yes.
Because you know what? Nobody else wants none of this.
No.
They don't want none.
They don't want none.
All right, guys, this has been an absolute genuine pleasure. You can follow the High Spot Podcast where, guys? Where can they follow all of you?
Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and also on SoundCloud and our Facebook page, High Spot Podcast, and on Instagram, again, High Spot Podcast.
All right, guys, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We will see you with new episodes later in the week. Have a good night.